When the boy came back, the old man was asleep in the chair, and the sun was down. The boy took the old army blanket off the bed and spread it over the back of the chair and over the old man's shoulders. They were strange shoulders, still powerful, although very old, and the neck was still strong, too. And the creases did not show so much when the old man was asleep and his head fallen forward. His shirt had been patched so many times that it was like the sail, and the patches were faded to many different shades by the sun. The old man's head was very old, though, and with his eyes closed, there was no life in his face. The newspaper lay across his knees, and the weight of his arm held it there in the evening breeze. He was barefooted. The boy left him there, and when he came back, the old man was still asleep. "Wake up, old man," the boy said, and put his hand on one of the old man's knees. The old man opened his eyes, and for a moment he was coming back from a long way away. Then he smiled. "What have you got?" he asked. "Supper," said the boy. "We're going to have supper." "I'm not very hungry." "Come on and eat. You can't fish and not eat."
"I have,"
the old man said, getting up and taking the newspaper and folding it. Then he started to fold the blanket. "Keep the blanket around you," the boy said. "You'll not fish without eating while I'm alive."
"Then live a long time and take care of yourself," the old man said. "What are we eating?"
"Black beans and rice, fried bananas, and some stew."
The boy had brought them in a two-decker metal container from the terrace. The two sets of knives and forks and spoons were in his pocket with a paper napkin wrapped around each set.
"Who gave this to you?"
"Martin, the owner."
"I must thank him."
"I thanked him already," the boy said. "You don't need to thank him."
"I'll give him the belly meat of a big fish," the old man said. "Has he done this for us more than once?"
"I think so."
"I must give him something more than the belly meat, then. He is very thoughtful for us."
"He sent two beers."
"I like the beer in cans best."
"I know, but this is in bottles, Hathaway beer, and I take back the bottles."
"That's very kind of you," the old man said. "Should we eat?"
"I've been asking you to," the boy told him gently. "I have not wished to open the container until you were ready."
"I'm ready now," the old man said. "I only needed time to wash."
Where did you wash? The boy thought. The village water supply was two streets down the road. I must have water here for him, the boy thought, and soap and a good towel. Why am I so thoughtless? I must get him another shirt and a jacket for the winter and some sort of shoes and another blanket.
"Your stew is excellent," the old man said.
"Tell me about the baseball," the boy asked him.
"In the American League, it is the Yankees, as I said,"
the old man said happily. "They lost today," the boy told him.
"That means nothing. The great DiMaggio is himself again."
"They have other men in the team."
"Naturally, but he makes the difference. In the other league, between Brooklyn and Philadelphia, I must take Brooklyn. But then I think of Dick Sisler and those great drives in the old park.
There was nothing ever like them. He hits the longest ball I've ever seen."
"Do you remember when he used to come to the terrace? I wanted to take him fishing, but I was too timid to ask him. Then I asked you to ask him, and you were too timid."
"I know, it was a great mistake. He might have gone with us. Then we would have had that for all of our lives."
"I would like to take the great DiMaggio fishing," the old man said. "They say his father was a fisherman. Maybe he was as poor as we are. Would understand."
"The great Sisler's father was never poor, and he, the father, was playing in the big leagues when he was my age."
"When I was your age, I was before the mast on a square-rigged ship that ran to Africa, and I have seen lions on the beaches in the evening."
"I know, you told me."
"Should we talk about Africa or about baseball?"
"Baseball, I think," the boy said. "Tell me about the great John J. McGraw."
"He used to come to the terrace sometimes, too, in the older days. But he was rough and harsh-spoken and difficult when he was drinking. His mind was on horses as well as baseball. At least he carried lists of horses at all times in his pocket and frequently spoke the names of horses on the telephone."
"He was a great manager," the boy said. "My father thinks he was the greatest.
Because he came here the most times, the old man said. If De Rocher had continued to come here each year, your father would think him the greatest manager.
Who is the greatest manager, really? Luque or Mike Gonzalez?
I think they are equal.
And the best fisherman is you?
No, I know others better.
Que va, the boy said. There are many good fishermen and some great ones, but there is only you.
Thank you. You make me happy. I hope no fish will come along so great that he will prove us wrong.
There is no such fish if you are still strong as you say.
I may not be as strong as I think, the old man said. But I know many tricks, and I have resolution.
You ought to go to bed now so that you'll be fresh in the morning. I will take the things back to the terrace.
Good night, then. I will wake you in the morning.
You're my alarm clock, the boy said.
Age is my alarm clock, the old man said. Why do old men wake so early? Is it to have one longer day?
I don't know, the boy said. All I know is that young boys sleep late and hard.
I can remember it, the old man said. I'll waken you in time.
I do not like for him to waken me. It is as though I were inferior.
I know.
Sleep well, old man.